Colossians, chapter 3. Book of Colossians, chapter 3. The overall theme of the book of Colossians is the preeminence of Christ. The message of Colossians is to the child of God, is crown Him Lord of all in your life. In this third chapter, Paul is exhorting God's people to a certain way of life. It's not a way of life without basis. It's not a way of life without a foundation. He begins his exhortation to this way of life in verse 1 with our standing, risen with Christ. The very word risen speaks of a miraculous life, a transformation. And this is with Christ. We cannot live the life that Paul is going to exhort us to live in Colossians 3 without this, risen with Christ. Again, risen speaks of a miracle. With Christ speaks of our identity. Our identity is Christ. The life that Paul is exhorting us to live is a has its basis in a transforming identity with Christ. Now in chapter 3, Paul enlarges upon this way of life. He gives us some details. Verses 1 through 4, he says it's a way of life that involves seeking spiritual values. And you see that there in the first four verses. Verses 5 through 11, it's a life that involves putting off the sins of the old life. In verses 12 through 17, it also involves a putting on of virtues. You don't put on these virtues over sins. You take off the sins, put them off, and then you put on these virtues. The life that he's describing is very extensive. Verses 18 and 19, we see it's a life that carries over into marriage between husband and wife. It is a life that carries over into the home, whether it be children or parents. We see that in verses 20 and 21. It is a life that carries over into the workplace. We see that in verse 22. And it is a life that covers everything we do. And that is found in verse 23. So from all of that, we see that the life that Paul is exhorting us to is a life that permeates and saturates our entire life. There's no area of life that is exempt from this. It's not a life that is limited to certain situations. It's not a life that is limited to certain times in our life. But it flows from this miraculous transformation, risen with Christ. Flows from an identity with Christ. You cannot live this life apart from risen. And you cannot live this life apart from with Christ. So that's the foundation. We'd like to read Colossians 3, verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In this verse, Paul is saying that nothing should stand in the way of this manner of living. Not human differences, neither Greek nor Jew. Not religious differences, circumcision nor uncircumcision. Not cultural differences, barbarian, Scythian. Not status, bond nor free. The life that Paul is exhorting us to live transcends all barriers. Nothing is to get in the way. But it is a life that centers upon this truth. Christ is all. Christ is all. In those three one-syllable words is a truth that we must learn if we're going to live the life that Paul is speaking of. Christ is all. That is a truth that we must be absolutely certain of. Something that we must be absolutely persuaded of if we're going to live this life. Christ is all. That is a truth that must grip our hearts, get a hold of us, if we are going to live this life in which Paul speaks. So we want to center our thoughts today around these three words. Christ is all. Subject of the message is a glorious truth we must all learn. And that's true of every saved person here. It's also true of every unsaved person here. Because you won't be saved until you come to the realization that He's all. Christ is all. First of all, what is meant by those words? Well, it's a statement of fact. Christ is all. That is a fact regardless of our circumstances. Whatever your circumstances, doesn't matter. Christ is all. It is a fact regardless of our state, our condition, regardless of our thoughts. You say, well, I think such and such of Christ. Christ is all. Whatever you think does not change this fact. Christ is all. It's regardless of our perception. Well, this is how I see it. Doesn't matter. Does not change the fact Christ is all. No matter where I go, no matter where you go, whatever our place is, this is a fact. Christ is all. Nothing alters this truth. Christ is all. Well, Brother Dan, I'm going through just a horrible time. That may be so. But whatever it is that you're going through does not alter one iota. Christ is all. Three one-syllable words, but words that have a great wealth of meaning. Three words that cannot possibly be fully explained, fully expounded. But I know this, That if we are going to live the life that is portrayed in the Word of God consistently, we have to come to this truth. Christ is all. We have to know that. It has to get a hold of us. And I don't believe there's many that know it. It speaks, this fact, speaks of the person of Jesus Christ. It speaks of who He is. There are a lot of people who know Christ as their Savior, and what I mean by that is they're saved. But they don't really know Him. They don't really know Him. This speaks of the person of Jesus Christ. All through the book of Colossians, Christ is set before us. Now, if we were going to preach this message in a series, we would take time to look at each place, but we'll just mention them. In chapter 1 and verse 1, He is Jesus Christ. In chapter 1 and verse 2, He is Christ. And He is also the Lord, Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 and verse 4, He is Christ Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 10, He is Lord. All this speaks of His person. Chapter 1, verse 13, He is God's dear Son. Chapter 1, verse 14, He is our Redeemer. Chapter 1, verse 15, He's the image of God, the firstborn of every creature. Chapter 1, verse 16, He's the Creator. Chapter 1, verse 17, He's before all things. And He's the sustainer of all things. Chapter 1, verse 18, He's the head of the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from the dead and the preeminent one. And in chapter 1, verse 19, and also chapter 2, verse 9, He's the fullness of God. Chapter 1, verse 20, He is the peacemaker. Chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, He's the reconciler. Chapter 1, verse 27, He's the hope of glory. Chapter 2, verse 3, He's the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Chapter 2, verse 10, He's the head of principalities and power. Chapter 2, verse 13, He's the one in whom we have forgiveness. Chapter 2, verse 15, He's the spoiler of principalities and powers. Chapter 3 and verse 4, He is our life. Chapter 3, verse 17, again, He is referred to as the Lord Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 24, He is our rewarder and Lord Christ. And then you get into chapter 4 and verse 1, and He is the Master. And here in our text, three comprehensive words. Christ is all. And that is the summation of His person. Christ is all. Throughout the Word of God, He is set before us. He is set before us as the Almighty. He is set before us as the Alpha and the Omega, as the apostle of our profession, the author and finisher of our faith, the beloved Son, the blessed and only potentate, the bread of life, the captain of salvation, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the deliverer, the door, the way to God, the glory of the Lord, the great high priest, the heir of all things, the Holy One, the I Am, the truth, the life, the light, the King of ages, the King of kings, the Lamb of God, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the Lord our righteousness, the mighty God, the Prince of life, the Rock, and our Savior. In other words, Christ is all. You go over to Revelation chapter 5, and you see that He is the worthy, the conquering, and the prevailing one. And He's worthy of everything. But the summation of all of that is Christ is all. He is all. He's infinite. He's eternal. He's immutable. He's immortal. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the omnipotent possessor of all power in heaven and earth. He is omniscient. He's the owner of all. He's holy, spotless, pure, absolutely impeccable. He has no sin. He has no fault. There is no flaw. As we read in Song of Solomon, He is altogether lovely. Never has there been a more precious, more beautiful, more meaningful, more influential, more illustrious, or more important person as Him. Christ is all. No one throughout human history has brought more comfort than He. No one has brought more cheer and more hope than He. He is all. That means He's above all. He's superior to all. He's beyond all. Has that gotten a hold of us? I'm not asking you if you believe that. Everyone here believes that. No one here would deny that Christ is all. But has it gotten a hold of you where it changes and shapes and determines your life? Christ is all. That means you don't try and fit Him in your busy schedule. He's all. You don't fit Him in wherever you have time or whenever you feel like it. He is all. That needs to get a hold of us. We need to learn that lesson, not just the letter of it. Christ is all. But the truth of it needs to get a hold of us. So it speaks of the person of Jesus Christ. It speaks of His sufficiency, which of course is also part of His person. But it speaks of this fact that Christ is sufficient. Christ is all. That is, everything I need, I find in Him. I don't have to go anywhere else. Christ is all. That means He's everything. It means that He's the whole. And He ought to be the whole of our life. It means that He is entirety. It means that He is the total. Christ is all. Has that gotten a hold of us? Is He the total? Is He the whole? Christ is all. Chapter 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness dwell. Chapter 2, verse 9, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. This speaks of the fact, it speaks of His comprehensiveness, His completeness. speaks of his exhaustiveness. You cannot exhaust Jesus Christ. Regardless of the need, Jesus Christ is all, and he has what will meet the need. And he can meet the need. Christ is all. He can heal the wounds. He can soothe or remove the hurts. He can mend broken hearts. He can lift sorrows. He can bring cheer. He can bring hope. He can bring strength. He can bring courage and assurance and peace and rest and victory. He is all. He is God's provision. All fullness of the Godhead. He is God's remedy. It doesn't matter what the problem is. Jesus Christ is the remedy. He is all. He is the cure. He is the solution to the needs of man. No matter who you are, no matter what your state, no matter what your need, this is a fact. Christ is all. Christ is all. So it's a statement of fact. But it needs to be our perception. Again, everyone here knows the letter, Christ is all. Christ is all. But not everyone here, that is their perception. Not everyone here, that is their life. In other words, the truth of it has not gotten hold of them. Well, yeah, I believe Christ is all, and there they are out drinking out of the muddy waters of the world. I believe Christ is everything, and why are you in the world looking for something? Because that truth has not gotten hold of you. Christ is all means I don't have to go out there looking for what I need. I have to go to Christ, knowing that He is what I need, and He has what I need. Christ is all. Don't have to figure it out. Christ is all. That I have to know. Those three words, again, one syllable words, are the essence and the substance of true Christianity. Christ is all. It is the essence and substance of the way of life that Paul is urging us to live. Christ is all. That needs to be our perception. That needs to be our conviction. And if it isn't your perception, that doesn't change Christ is all. If it isn't your conviction, that does not change Christ is all. Regardless, Christ is all. Now we know today that there are those to whom Christ is nothing. Means nothing. That probably cannot be said of anyone here. You wouldn't be here. But we know there are many that Christ is absolutely nothing. Nothing. There are those to whom Christ is something, but not much. Now that would include perhaps several individuals here. Christ is something, but not much. There are those to whom Christ is much, Certainly that would include some here. But not all. Let's don't get carried away. Yeah, he's much. He's important. But he's not everything. But he is. There are those who think Christ is all in some things, but not in all. But not in all. Christ is all in all things. Oh, how we need to be firmly persuaded that Christ is all. And what flows from that is this life that Paul is talking about. When Christ is all, there is a life that flows from that. May I say also, when Christ is something but not much, there is a life that flows from that. When Christ is much but not all, there is a life that flows from that. There is a life that flows from our perception of Jesus Christ. And there is a life that flows from Christ is all. And it, of course, is a very distinct life. So let's look at what this means to the saved. Christ is all. Notice in verse 11, the first word is where. Refers back to verse 10. Referring back to the renewed or saved state. And then Paul proceeds in verse 11 to say that this renewed or saved state has nothing to do with nationality, religion, culture, or status, but Christ is all. That is, because of Jesus Christ, I am saved. Because of Jesus Christ, there is a mediator between a holy God and sinful man. And my mediator, Jesus Christ, stands between me and God. He puts one hand on God, he puts one hand on me, and he says, Father, I know that Dan Gordon, he's wicked, he's vile, he is a guilty criminal before you. And I know, God, that he has a sin debt that he can never pay. But Father, because I love him so much, I'm paying his debt in full. And Father, for my sake, accept this payment. Christ is all. Has a mediator. Because of Christ, there is an advocate with God the Father. Because of Christ, we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Because of Christ, I can stand before God righteous. Because of Christ, I have been accepted before God. Because of Christ, I have been redeemed, I have been justified, forgiven, reconciled, have peace with God, have been adopted into the family of God, have been made nigh, and have fellowship with God. Because of Christ, I have a blessed hope. Because of Christ, I am a citizen of heaven, and have victory over sin and death and the grave. Because of Christ, I am headed for glory. So everyone that is here and saved, you look at every aspect of your salvation, you look at every blessing of your salvation, and Christ is all. He's everything. He is all. You can take every sin that I have ever committed and will ever commit. Place them upon the scale, and they will reach higher than the heavens. And on the opposite side, you can place all of my deeds, good deeds, all of my faith, and all of my prayers, and all of my repentance. And guess what? The scale will not budge. The sin's my merit. The scale does not budge. But place Christ on the scale, and He is greater than all my sin. Christ is all when we talk about the blessings of salvation. So what bearing should that have upon the life that I live? Christ is all, and I have Christ. That means I have everything. Christ is all. Then the profits and honors of this world will not influence me from Him. If Christ is all in our lives, then all the profits that the world offers will not turn us away from Jesus Christ, will not move us away from Christ, because this truth has gotten a hold of us. Christ is all. Well, you've got to do this or you'll be fired. Fire me. Because Christ is all. The job isn't all. Christ is all. Family isn't all. Christ is all. That needs to get a hold of us. It needs to be our life. It means that He's the priority in all areas of our life. He's the priority in the home. He's the priority in the workplace. He's the priority in recreation. He is the priority. Why? Because He's all. He's everything. He ought to naturally be the priority. If Christ is all, then I ought to desire Him. Out there is vanity. And yet that is what most people are pursuing. They're chasing the wind. You tell them that Christ is all. Oh yeah, I believe that. And phew, off they go chasing the wind. Christ is all. Follow Him. Seek Him. Pursue Him. Christ is all. Then trust Him. Trust Him in everything. Follow Him. He ought to be the pattern of our life. And if Christ is all, then I ought to be willing to renounce Him for, doesn't matter. I ought to be willing to renounce whatever is out there and whatever is put in front of me. I ought to be willing to renounce all of that for Him. Renounce all for Him. Why? Because He's all. He's all. I mean, how foolish are we? If Christ is all, we say we know that, and we put something else ahead of Him, we're a fool. That's foolish. That's just plain stupidity. Christ is all. That means He ought to be the purpose of my life. That is why Paul said in Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live is Christ. That ought to be us. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. For me, to live is Christ. That needs to be us. Because Christ is all. Now, what does this mean to the unsaved? Because if you're here and lost today, this truth needs to get a hold of you. Christ is all. You see, as a lost sinner, you are in violation of the law of God. And you presently live in opposition to God, in rebellion against God. You're corrupt. You're estranged from God. You are under the dominion of Satan. And you live in this realm of darkness. And you are deceived. And you are blind and hardened and unrighteous and ungodly. And you are spiritually bankrupt. And you are lost. What we mean by that is you are in a perishing state, heading for ruin. And you're trapped under a weight of sin. Unacceptable before God. Ephesians 2:12 sums it all up. It says that you are without Christ. Without Christ. In light of this truth, Christ is all. To be without Christ means you have what? Nothing. Nothing. Well, I've got a house, and I've got a car, and I've got this, and I've got that. You have nothing that will matter in eternity. Nothing. Because in the matters of eternity, Christ is all, and you are without Him. You have nothing. You're bankrupt. Without Christ, there is no acceptance with God. There is no justification before God. There is no forgiveness. There is no reconciliation. There is no adoption into the family of God. Without God, without Christ, you stand before God estranged. You stand before God bankrupt. There is no victory. There is no heaven without Christ. You stand before God without Christ as a hell-deserving and hell-bound sinner. But Christ is all. Without Christ, you have nothing to plead before God. You say, well, I realize that it's probably true that I'll stand before God, and I will just plead that I went to Home Baptist Church, and you'll be cast into hell. Without Christ, this church cannot save you. Well, I'll plead that I knew brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Without Christ, you'll be cast into hell. Doesn't matter. Christ is all. Your morality will not help you. Your reputation for morality will not help you. Your charitable giving will not help you. Your religion is not sufficient. Your religious observances are not sufficient. All your so-called good deeds are not sufficient. All your kind words, all your acts of kindness, none of them are sufficient. By the deeds of the law, no one is justified in His sight. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done. But in this matter of salvation, Christ is all. He's your only hope. There is no other hope. The only way your sin debt can be paid is by Jesus Christ. Time does not liquidate the sin debt. Time may liquidate, by law, time may liquidate many debts. But I'm here to tell you, there is a sin debt that time will never liquidate. There's only one who can liquidate this debt, and that's Christ. You can't liquidate it. Your relatives can't liquidate it. You have a sin debt that you cannot pay. No one can pay other than Jesus Christ. Christ is all. And the lost sinner is without Him. Without Christ. Those are sad words. Without Christ. And yet, there are individuals who walk in these doors without Christ. They walk out those doors without Christ. It's a fearful thing. But Christ is all. He has the life that you need. No one else does. He has the liberty you need. He has the pardon and the cleansing and the acceptance, the reconciliation, the justification, and the righteousness that you so desperately need and must have. You must have these things. If you're going to get to heaven, you must have these things. And Christ is the only place you can get them. Christ is all. So whether saved or unsaved, may each one of us go out those doors with this truth gripping our hearts. Christ is all. He's everything that matters. The reason the lost sinner must come to this truth is because you will not fall before Him for the salvation you need until you realize He is everything I need. Christ is all. Getting back to the saved. To many, Christ is much, but not all. You won't make it. You won't remain faithful. You will fall. You will fall. He must be all. Don't kid yourself. Don't deceive yourself into thinking, oh, I'll lay down my life for Christ. You can't even lay down your job for Christ. What in the world makes you think you'll lay down your life for Christ? You can't even deny your family for Christ. What in the world makes you think that you will lay down your life? Don't kid yourself. It's not happening. You will deny Him. You'll deny Him. This has to get a hold of us. Christ is all. He's everything. Therefore, I am willing to renounce everything else because He's everything. That has to get a hold of us. Especially in these days in which we live. Christ is all. Those are the people I want to be around. People that this truth has gotten a hold of them, Christ is all. And that God would remind us of that truth every single day because we are prone to forget it. Just because I know it today, I may not know it tomorrow. Something we need to be reminded of every day. God help us to know Christ is all. If you're here and lost, Christ is all. He's everything you need. Everything you need. Well, Brother Dan, I don't appreciate you putting down my religion. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Look at it this way. I'm not putting down your religion. I'm telling you what you need. Christ is all. He's what you need today. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.